Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Church. We exist to honor God through reaching our city and touching the world with the amazing love of Jesus Christ. Now, let's join Senior Pastor Rick Shelton for this life-changing message.
I want to do something. This actually is opening my message, but then it gives me an opportunity to do something else. You'll see what it is in just a minute. I hold in my book a hand that I got a number of years ago. What did I say? Yeah, look, you know what I mean. Give me a break. I hold a book in my hand. I was sitting on a thought and a bench ran through my mind, and Anyway, so this book that I hold in my hand, I bought a number of years ago. It's called The Heavenly Man, and it's about a man named Brother Yun and in China, and he's a great he's a man that God has used to really lead the church, underground church in China. You all know now that the underground church, the house churches in China, number over 100 million, and they say that over 1 million are getting saved every month. It's amazing. And Brother Yun is recognized as the leader. There's a number of different house church movements that work together, but he is recognized by all the leaders of those movements as the one voice to the world for what God is doing in China. And this man has spent many years in prison for preaching the gospel, and been in prison a number of times, and tortured, beaten mercilessly. On this time, I'm going to read you something here just real quick, but on this time, it was the third time he had been in prison for preaching the gospel. And when he was in prison, he'd escaped so many times that when they arrested him this time, took him to prison, the guards beat his legs so brutally that both his legs turned black and he wasn't able to use them. He couldn't walk. And now he was 6 weeks into this third imprisonment, and there was a preacher friend of his that was in the cell next to him, Brother Q, I think is his name. But anyway, and he was given the task of carrying Brother Yun to the bathroom or, anywhere he had to go because Brother Yun couldn't walk now. And in that context, listen to this. The reason I'm doing this is I'm picking up with message last week on hearing the voice of God. Today is developing a hearing heart, developing a hearing heart. And I wanted to read this to you to show you how powerful the voice of God can be. God speaking to us, how powerful it can be. Watch this. He says, "Now, Brother Yu, who was in the cell next to him, was suggesting to me that I should try to escape. I know you as a man of God who listens closely to God's voice, so I politely told him, 'My legs are smashed, and I am locked in my own cell with an iron door. I cannot even walk. How can I escape?' He said, 'Your legs are fine. Why don't you escape?' On the evening of the 4th of May, 1997, like every evening for the previous 6 weeks, I reached down and took hold of my limp legs. Pain raced through my body as I propped them up against the wall. I found this was the best way to minimize the agony. By diverting the blood flow away from my legs, they became numb and I could sleep fitfully throughout the night. The very next morning, in my depressed and hopeless condition, the Lord encouraged me with a promise from Hebrews 10:35. He said, 'So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded.'" He says, "As the prison slowly stirred to life, I started to read the book of Jeremiah. The Lord related it to my injuries." Now watch this. I want you to see God spoke through Brother Yu, and now he's speaking through his word. "The Lord related the scripture in Jeremiah to my injuries and my situation in a powerful and personal way. It was as if the Holy Spirit was speaking to me directly through his word." He says, "The word seemed to leap off the paper and into my spirit. It was a very holy time, as though God Almighty himself had descended into my cell and was dealing with me face to face." He said, "As soon as I read these verses, now a powerful vision suddenly came to me, even though I was wide awake." He hears through Brother Yu, he hears through the written word. He said, "Now a vision comes. In this vision, I saw my wife, Deling, sitting beside me. She had just been released from prison and was preparing some medicine, because she had been in prison too. She lovingly treated my wounds. I felt greatly encouraged and asked her, "Have you been released, Deling?" She replied, "Why don't you open the door, Yoon?" Before I could answer, she walked out of the room and the vision ended. The Lord spoke to me, "This is the hour of your salvation." Immediately, I knew this was a vision from the Lord and that I was meant to try to escape. My solitary cell shared a wall with a cell containing Brother Yu and some of the other believers. We had a prearranged signal that if any of us were in trouble and needed urgent prayer, we would knock twice on the wall. Brother Yu heard my knock. I called to the guard. He came to my door and asked me what I wanted. I told him I need to go to the toilet right now. And the rest is history. I won't read the rest. All right? How many of y'all want to hear the rest, huh? Yes. All right. Look, I won't be able to preach all of my message. How many of y'all want to hear the rest?
Yes.
Yeah, look, what does that say? All right. No. All right, listen, watch this. Because it was Brother Yu's job to carry me around, the guard opened his door and ordered him to carry me to the bathroom. Whenever prisoners were allowed outside their cells, an iron gate in the corridor was locked. So there would be no chance of escape. A stairwell leading down to the floors below was on the other side of the gate. We were still completely closed in. The gate opened for people on the outside coming in, but could not be opened from the inside. Each floor of the prison was protected by an iron gate. Normally, two guards were stationed on either side of every gate, so to make it to the prison courtyard, I would have to go through three iron gates on three floors and pass six armed guards, and I can't walk. Brother Yu came to my door. As soon as he saw me, he commanded me, "You must escape." He then went back to his own cell and collected his toothbrush and towel so the guards would think he was about to use the bathroom. When Brother Yu returned, he again solemnly ordered me, Yun, you must escape. I was dressed only in my underwear. So as quickly as I could, I pulled my trousers up. I had written scriptures from the Gospel of John and 1 Peter on a long piece of toilet paper. I fashioned it into a belt and put it around my waist. I prayed, "Lord, you have shown me that I must try to leave this prison. I will obey you now and will try to escape. But when the guards shoot me, please receive my soul into your heavenly dwelling." It was now more than 6 weeks since my legs had been smashed. Even putting a little weight on them caused tremendous agony. But I believed God had told me in three different ways that I was to try to escape: through his word, through the vision, and through Brother Wu. I have learned that when the Lord tells us to do something, there is no time for discussion or rationale. Regardless of the situation we face, when we are assured God has told us to act, as I was on this occasion, blind obedience is called for. Not to obey God implies that we are wiser than him and that we know better how to run our lives than he does. It was just before 8 o'clock in the morning on the 5th of May, 1997. To the natural mind, this time of day was the worst possible time to try to escape. There were normally so many activities in the prison with all the guards at their posts. I shuffled out of my cell and I got up and I began to walk towards the locked iron gate in the hallway. My mind was slowly focused on obeying God. I looked straight ahead and prayed beneath my breath with every step I took. A guard who pushed a button when he wanted the gate to open and close sat at the top of the third floor stairwell. It was impossible to see to the other side because the gate was made of iron and the small windows were covered with black cloth. At the exact moment I reached the gate, another servant of the Lord, Brother Muxing, was returning to his cell and the gate opened for him. That morning, he had been ordered to sweep the prison courtyard. As Muxing passed me, I told him, "Wait, don't close the gate." I walked through without even breaking my stride. The Lord's timing was perfect. As we passed, Muxing asked in a whisper, "Are you leaving, Brother Yoon? Are you not afraid to die?" Then with an astonished look on his face, he returned to his cell. There had been a guard accompanying Muxing back to his cell. But at that exact moment, the guard opened the gate for Muxing. A telephone rang in an office down the hallway, and the guard turned and ran to answer it. I noticed a broom leaning against the wall in the stairwell. I picked it up and continued walking with it down the stairs to the second floor. An armed guard was positioned at his desk facing the second iron gate. That gate was sometimes left open because an on-duty guard was always assigned to watch the gate day and night. It wasn't considered a risk to leave it unlocked. At that moment, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, "Go now. The God of Peter is with you." Somehow the Lord seemed to blind that guard. He was staring directly at me, yet his eyes did not acknowledge my presence at all. I expected him to say something, but he just kept looking at me as if I was invisible. He didn't say a word. I continued past him and didn't look back. I knew I could be shot in the back at any moment. I continued silently to ask the Lord to be ready to receive my spirit, thinking these moments were to be my last in the world. I continued walking down the stairs, but nobody stopped me, and none of the guards said a word to me. When I arrived at the main iron gate leading out to the prison courtyard, I discovered it was already open. This was strange, as it was usually the most secure gate of all. There were normally two guards stationed at the first floor gate, one on the inside, one on the outside, but for some reason, neither of the guards was present. The gate was open. I discarded the broom I had carried with me from the third floor and walked out of the courtyard. The bright morning light made me wince. I walked past several guards in the yard, but nobody said a word to me. I then strolled through the main gate of the prison, which for some strange reason was also standing ajar. My heart was pounding. I was now standing on the street outside the prison. I was told later that nobody had ever escaped from that prison before. Immediately, a small yellow taxi van pulled up next to me, and the driver, a man late in his late 20s, opened the passenger door. He asked, "Where are you heading?" I got in and replied, "I need to go to my office as quickly as possible, so drive fast." And I was gone. Isn't that amazing? The voice of the Lord is very, very powerful. Before I get into that, I wanted to tell you this. I had also another reason for reading this story to you. Pastor Yoon has been one of my heroes for a long time. And I've always wanted to just be able to sit down and talk to him. I mean, to me, in the whole world, there can't be anybody to be on my top five list any more than Brother Yoon. And I just want you to know that, I just want you to know that on the 14th of October, Brother Yoon is going to come here to Life Church. Isn't that amazing? That's really a miracle, you know, that he would come to us out of all the places in the world. I can't wait, and I want you to make sure you hear. We'll have the Vision Conference, and then the next Tuesday will be the 14th when Brother Yoon will be here and speak. Amen? Wow, Jesus must love us or something. All right, the voice of the Lord is very powerful. I won't have you stand. I'm going into this. I thought about how God spoke to Brother Yoon through the scripture and through his friend and through a vision. And in all three of those things, God speaks. And many times that he joins them together, as he did in Brother Yoon's case. And there are many other ways. There are other ways that God speaks to us. But regardless of how God speaks, folks, my passion is this. If we can just get this, that hearing the voice of God has to be one of the most important things in life. And so many people, Christians, don't regularly hear the voice of God. And how in the world can we expect to live the life that God wants us to live and have the power and the victory that he wants us to walk in if we don't hear his voice? Folks, my passion is that I pray that you will understand, first of all, how important it is to hear the voice of God. And then I want to help you to learn to hear the voice in these few weeks that I'm dealing with this. So as we get into this, I want you to look at this verse with me. First of all, in John 10, this was our text last week, John 10, verses 3 through 5. Jesus says this, "To him the door opens, and the sheep," that's us, "hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they did not know the voice of a stranger." Lord, please bless your word today for our hearts and our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Now everybody look at me, listen to this. His sheep hear his voice, they know his voice, they won't follow the voice of a stranger. I talked last week about how that through the different ages or dispensations in the later out in the scripture, that God has always been speaking, but he's been dealing in just different realms and with different peoples. In this particular age that we live in, the gospel of grace age, God speaks to every one of us. Every believer is the temple of God. God is in you, and God wants to speak to you. You don't need a prophet. There are prophets today. You know, there were prophets in the Old Testament. There are Old Testament prophets and the New Testament prophets. One difference between the Old and the New is that the Old Testament prophets had a much higher status than the New Testament prophets do. And in other words, you know, now prophets are, you know, they're all like on an equal basis, if you please, with teachers and evangelists and pastors and so forth and so on. In the Old Testament, I mean, man, they were the be-all and end-all, you know. The reason was because the average everyday believer did not have the Spirit of God in them and could not hear the voice of God. So you had to have a prophet to hear the voice of God. Now that's no longer the case. A prophet comes to us at times to confirm what God is speaking to us, to encourage us, to exhort us, but a prophet doesn't hear the voice of God for us. We now can hear the voice of God for ourselves. Why? Because we have the Spirit of God on the inside of us. Now watch this. Look this with me in Ezekiel chapter 36. This is a prophecy in the Old Testament about the New Testament new birth. Then God says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh. Now, when it talks about the heart here, it's different from the spirit, because the heart, if you look it up in the Hebrew, he's talking about a new attitude, a new center of motivation. This new spirit that God puts in us is going to cause the entire center of our motivation to change. He said, I'll take out that old stony, rigid heart that's been motivating you and give you a heart of flesh, a tender heart. Everybody say a tender heart. Now, please follow with me through this. If you'll follow with me closely, I'll help you to learn how to hear the voice of God. God will give us a tender heart. That's important to hearing the voice of God. He said, I will put my spirit within you. And my spirit, that's capital S, means the Holy Spirit. Everybody say the Holy Spirit. So he'll give us a new spirit, and then he'll put his Holy Spirit in our spirit. And that Holy Spirit in our spirit will cause us to walk in his statutes. In other words, to obey his will. And you will keep my judgments and do them. We see here in the New Testament, John 14, the fulfillment of this, when he says in verse 15, he says, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Now watch this, one more verse. You ready? John 16. Hang with me. Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, now watch this, everybody look at me, listen. When the Holy Spirit, see, God says it's the new birth, he takes out that old center of motivation, that stoniness in us, and he puts a new spirit in us that actually gives us a more tender heart. Now watch this, and then he places the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, in our spirit that has been tenderized. Are y'all with me now? Listen. All those things are important. The Holy Spirit, who's the one who speaks in our spirit, but the Holy Spirit must be in a tenderized heart, a sensitive, soft heart. Okay? So now in this passage, he said, so when the Holy Spirit has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak in his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you, all things that the Father has in mind. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare that it to you. Now, listen to me carefully. What we're seeing is this. Listen, the key, and I'm going to have to break this down and unfold this gradually, but just please watch this. The key to hearing the voice of God is understanding that you have been given a new spirit, and that new spirit has made your heart tender. And then the Holy Spirit is placed within you, and the Holy Spirit in your tender spirit is the key to hearing the voice of God. So all of us have the Spirit of God in us. One of the keys to hearing the voice of God is determining whether our spirit has remained tender or whether it has become hardened. Now, I'll leave that alone, and I'll go on just a moment. Turn to the person next to you and say, that's a good place to stop right there. All right, tell him. We need to know, how is it that the voice of God comes? Look at this verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 16. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And look at this next verse, which is a major key to hearing the voice of God. The Spirit, that Holy Spirit that's in your spirit, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now watch this. The Holy Spirit in us, the way he speaks to us, here it's called bearing witness. You have our tenderized spirit, our soft heart, and the Holy Spirit speaks to our tender spirit. See that? He bears witness with our spirit, all right? Now, if we can ever figure out or explain what that's like to feel the agreement of the Holy Spirit with our tenderized spirit, if we can ever describe what's that like to experience the agreement with the Spirit of God with our tenderized spirit, we'll know how to hear the voice of God. Now, I keep focusing on this tenderized spirit. Why? Follow with me again. And we're going to go through a number of scriptures, but if you hang with me, it'll all make sense. Look in Mark chapter 4, verse 9. Why do many have difficulty hearing the voice of God? Look in Mark 4, 9. Jesus said to them, his disciples, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? Look in the 23rd verse of the same chapter, Mark 4, 23. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Look at this. What's Jesus saying here? The person who has ears to hear, let him hear. That's interesting, isn't it? Now, obviously, he's not speaking about our physical ears, because they all had two of those on the sides of their head. So he can say, hey, you guys without ears there on your head, you know, you just got a head. No, you can't hear. He's not talking about physical ears. He says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He's talking about spiritual ears. He's actually talking about, whenever you see ears to hear, you need to have ears to hear. What you're hearing is that Jesus is describing a certain condition of your heart that is required in order for the Holy Spirit to bear witness with your spirit. See, so much of not hearing and understanding the voice of God in our life when he speaks is not because God's not speaking, and it may not even be because we don't know what that is like. Maybe we've experienced it in the past. But whenever your heart is no longer tender and in the condition of your heart is no longer optimum soil for the Spirit of God to speak in, then you can't discern the voice of God. So the condition of your heart means everything when it comes to hearing the voice of God. Get out there today. I'll show you what I mean. Look at this in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. This is about Solomon. It says, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask, what shall I give you? In other words, he's laying it all open, carte blanche. What do you want, Solomon? Solomon's reply in verse 9 was, therefore, Lord, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. Now look at me, listen to this. If you understand this in the Hebrew, watch this. When he says, Lord, here's what I want. I can ask anything. What I need more than anything is an understanding heart. In the Hebrew, it doesn't say understanding heart. It literally says, Lord, give me a hearing heart. I want a heart that hears. Why did Solomon need a heart that hears? He explains later. Watch it. God basically lays it out. Watch this. He says, Lord, give me an understanding heart. Look here in verse 10. This speech pleased the Lord that Solomon asked this thing. Then God said to him, because you have asked this thing. Now watch this. What did he ask? He said, because you asked for a hearing heart. And you've not asked for long life for yourself, nor you've not asked for riches for yourself, nor have you asked for life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and a hearing heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before, nor shall any like you rise after you. And I have also also because you have a hearing heart now, I have given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. Oh boy, I saw something here. You know what I see? Listen to this. A lot of people, if God asked them, say, what do you want? We would lay out a list of stuff that we want. God, I need this healing, and I need this money, and I need the kids, and I need that, and I need this, and I need the other thing. Certainly Solomon had a lot of needs and wants. But he said, God, that's all secondary. Lord, just if you just give me a heart that hears your voice. And you know what God said to him? He said, okay, Solomon, because you've asked not for riches or honor or power or fame or anything else, all you've asked for is a heart that hears my voice. He said, I'm giving you a hearing heart. He said, but understand this, the man who gets a heart that hears the voice of God, he also gets everything else that everybody longs for but never gets. You see what he's saying? He's saying everything else is incumbent in hearing the voice of God. If we only understood, folks, that so many things that we pursue trying to get it by our own effort, our own energy, our own wisdom, making our own decisions, going our own way, struggling and trying to get ahead, making a step further up the ladder, so forth and so on, all that effort, if we would just step back and say, God, forgive my busy, occupied, hardened heart, Lord. Please, God, break up the fallow ground of my heart and tenderize my heart and give me a heart that is soft and sensitive to your voice. And then you make endeavor to obey that voice. You will find that all the things you've struggled to attain but have always escaped you will find their way to come about in your life without you even striving for them. You get that? You see in this, you see in this that the voice of God is paramount in receiving everything else in our life. How much we need to hear God's voice in our lives. Somebody shout amen. Woo, I like that. Now watch this. So how do we get this hearing heart? Well, first of all, we have to understand this verse here in Proverbs 4:23. Look at this. Oh, Jesus, I could preach for 2 hours today. Don't get nervous, folks. Watch this. Look what Solomon. Now, this is the same guy that just asked for a hearing heart, right? Same guy. In Proverbs, he says this. He says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. You see, I can talk about, and I will talk about, what does the voice of God sound like? How does it feel? How do we know it? But you first must understand that the condition of your heart, the soil of your heart, has everything to do with hearing God's voice. And here's what Solomon says. He says, here's what you need to do. He said, you need to keep or guard your heart. Now, here's in essence what he's saying. It's my paraphrase of it. He said, you better guard your spirit. What comes in and goes out. Because everything that plays out in your life plays out of what you treasure in your heart. What you keep inside here will literally bring about the path of your life and the blessing or the curse in your life. What's he saying? So many Christians, they want to hear the voice of God. But you know what? Many of our problem is, it's that we try to get God's word in our heart, but yet we allow many other voices into our heart at the same time. And so our heart is occupied not only with wheat, but it's occupied with tares. And the tares choke out the wheat. Read a good lesson in Mark chapter 4 is a great lesson. You know, about how that stuff that you just allow indiscriminately in your heart, you know, it's like people's opinions, you know, the news every day, you know, what's going on in the world, things people say about you, things that your head says, things that your feelings say. Y'all with me now? And all of these things, here's the deal. There's a lot of information that comes to you in so many different ways every day, and not all of it is bad. Much of it is good. and you can use it in profitable ways. But it's one thing to use information. It's another thing to allow that information to occupy your heart. Let me explain to you like this. I heard this. It was very interesting how there's probably many like this, but I was reading about this bank that has a safe, a vault. And this vault has voice recognition to where that this vault will only open if one person comes and speaks, I guess, into this little speaker on the wall. And when it hears that one voice, that vault will open and that person can have access to that vault. And any other voice that comes can say whatever it wants to say, but the vault won't open and it can't enter the safe. How many of y'all could figure out that analogy, huh? I begin to realize we need, as Christians, when it comes to our spirits, we need voice activation over the vault of our heart. Stuff will come, voices of fear, voices of unforgiveness. Use whatever profitable information that comes to you for profitable purposes. But don't let those things occupy your heart. Now listen to me. We don't correlate these two, fear and the voice of God, hearing the voice of God, unforgiveness and hearing the voice of God, or, you know, just greed or busyness or many other things. But let me tell you this. The more your heart is occupied with other things, the less you'll be able to hear the voice of God. We need to have a heart that has voice activation for God. When unforgiveness comes, the voice of unforgiveness, we say, I don't recognize that voice. I'm not going to let that enter into my heart. Only the voice of God will be able to unlock my heart. Everybody say amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to, oh, Jesus help us. Listen to this. Look in Matthew chapter 13, verses 13 through 15. Jesus said, therefore I speak to them in parables because, this is interesting. Before I read this, look at me, listen to me just a minute. I said that you have to have a tender heart, in other words, a soft heart that hears the voice of God. Let me explain, but show you what that is by explaining to you the opposite of it, and that's in this verse. Therefore, Jesus said, I speak to them in parables because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of the people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. And their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Now listen to me very closely before I move on. This is extremely, extremely important. Watch this. When we think of a hardened heart, that's what he's saying here. I could read another passage here where I haven't, not going to take time to do it, but it talks about people couldn't hear because their hearts were hardened. In that passage, it's talking about Israel in the wilderness. He said, for 40 years, I dealt with you, I nursed you, and all this. He said, you didn't hear my voice because you hardened your heart. Now, listen to this. When we think of a hardened heart, someone who has a hardened heart, what do we invariably think of? We normally think of someone who has totally abandoned God. They don't want God anymore in their life. They just turn opposite the other way. Isn't that right? It's the truth of the matter. That's it. We think, that person has a hardened heart. That's not at all what he's speaking of here. God is not speaking to the world that doesn't know him. He's speaking to his own children who were attending the temple, who were making sacrifices. These were people who were coming to the meetings. They said, I believe in you, God. But he says, your hearts have become hardened. Now, when he says your hearts become hardened, then he says your ears become dull of hearing. And all I'm saying is this, folks, listen to me. What is it that creates a hardened heart? There's a couple of things. Number one, what creates a hardened heart is when we hear the voice of God over and over again and don't do anything with it. Even when we hear it in messages like this, folks, it's hard to say to you today, but the more you hear messages, I mean, if you go somewhere and hear some kind of pop psychology, you know, and all that, then that's different. But when you come to a place where you're hearing the written word of God spoken and expounded on, and it's God's voice speaking in this place, which is what's happening today, Korabaste, hallelujah. And then the more you hear that word, whether in a message or just God speak to you personally, and you don't do anything with it, gradually your heart becomes hard. And it's kind of like one of those obnoxious husbands. Can I hear a female amen? Nobody wants to say amen. All right. One of those obnoxious husbands who listens to his wife but doesn't really listen to her. And he becomes accustomed to the sound of her voice, but he really, he develops the ability to hear but not hear. And afterwards she can ask him, do you know what I just said? He doesn't have a clue what she just said, even though he could hear her voice the whole time. Y'all with me? That's what you call a hardened heart, where you can come and you can hear, but in hearing, you don't really hear. Your heart has become callous. And number two, your heart becomes hardened or callous in this way. Your heart becomes callous and hardened when you spend too much of your time and energy filling your mind with the stuff of this world in relation to how much time you spend filling your heart with God's word. Now, just listen very carefully when I say this. Folks, I'm just telling you, I know you're busy, I'm busy. In our busy world today, we got a lot to do. We hear a lot of things. We have to say a lot of things. I understand, but listen to me. I'm just telling you. Have y'all realized? I'm just telling you, right? I'm just telling you. That's all. I'm just telling you that if you spend too much time hearing the voices of this world, let's say, you know, you get up in the morning, you hear the news. You go to work, you hear a bunch of people talk a bunch of junk, a bunch of trash. And a bunch of other stuff with business all day. And then you come home and you turn on the TV and you hear a bunch of soap opera type stuff. I don't know, you know, whatever, you know, all the stuff. And just from morning to night, if you're hearing that, but you are not in your day having a significant amount or portion of your energy put into hearing what does God have to say to me? The more you fill your heart and mind with all this other, without the deposit of the treasure of God's word inside of you, you will gradually become callous in the same way that eating a bunch of junk makes you no longer desire what's real. You keep eating French fries and Coca-Colas and hamburgers and ice cream. And when the broccoli comes around, it'll taste like cardboard to you. But let me tell you, you get rid of all that other stuff, the ice cream and the chocolate and the French fries. You get rid of it for a while, and it's amazing how good broccoli can taste. Y'all out there today. Now, I'm not saying God's voice is like broccoli. You know, it's good. Sometimes it's like honey, David says, you know, to my soul. But when you fill your mind with too many other things without holding the treasure word of God. Now, listen to this. Why is it so important, in order to hear the voice of God, why is it so important to fill our hearts daily with a regular treasure of God's written word? Why is that? I'm going to tell you why. Number one, it's important because the more you fill yourself with the written word of God, you meditate on it, you ponder it, you pray over it, ask God to speak to you through it. The more you do that, the more you build a treasury of God's word in you for Him to use to speak to you. In other words, it becomes the treasure of the written word in you becomes the vocabulary God uses to speak to you 6 months later. Have you ever had an occasion where that you read or meditated scriptures and maybe you memorized it word for word, or maybe you didn't, you just kind of generally remember the scripture? And how many of you had it happen later on where you were in some situation and God spoke to you and he used some of the very language of the words that you had read and remembered way back when? The less of that vocabulary that you have treasured in you, the harder it is to hear the voice of God. And remember, hearing the voice of God is paramount in getting everything else we need. But you can't hear the voice of God unless you have a good measure of treasure of God's written word on the inside of you. David said in Psalm 119, he says, "Your word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you." What was he saying? Was it the moment he was meditating and praying over God's word? Was there sin right there that he was going to do? No. He's saying right now, today, I'm meditating on the word and hiding the treasure of your word, written word in my heart, so that when I get down the road, maybe 3 weeks or 3 months, and the moment of temptation comes, the word that I hid in my heart way back in is going to rise up inside of me. It's going to speak to me. Your voice is going to come to me, and sin will be conquered in my life. You get that? Come on, give him praise. Wow. Man, that's good preaching, Brother Rick. Thank you. I think I'll go on. I love that. So, the condition of our heart is the first place we need to look. I'll venture to say that every person here will fit into one of these categories. Number one, we have people who have learned to walk with a tender, soft heart toward God. And they are regularly hearing the voice of God, much like we read in this book. And God is doing so many beautiful things through speaking to them in many different ways. I would say that we have people in this second category. People who aren't hearing the voice of God at all. They say, "Oh, I love God. I'm coming to church. You know, I want to go to heaven." But they're so occupied with the world, they haven't stopped to think, "Wait a minute. When Jesus saved me, he didn't just save me to give me a ticket out of hell. That he's my good shepherd." I venture to say there are people here fit in this category and say, "You know, I want to go to heaven, and you know, I believe in God, Jesus, what he did for me on the cross." But yet, never hearing the voice of God, never. I guarantee there are people in this place never would say, if you ask them, "I don't think I've ever heard the voice of God." What a tragedy. Dear folks, how in the world can you live a life that's pleasing to God and have victory over sin and over the devil if you can't hear the voice of God? And number three, I would say there are people in this category. There are people who are making some effort, maybe even real effort, to try to walk with God, to grow in your faith. But you keep running up against walls saying, "You know, I'm trying, I pray and I do this and that, you know, and read my Bible, I feel like maybe sometimes I hear from God, but I don't know. It's just there's just a wall I keep hitting." Now listen to me. Those people in that third category are the ones that really I'm speaking to here today. And I'll say this. What you need to understand, Jesus was very clear about this when he spoke to Israel, that you can come and love your worship services and all your songs and all your offerings and everything. But God says they won't amount to anything if you don't hear his voice and obey it. And what you need to understand is these principles I've laid out for you today, that it's not enough just to pray or read your Bible. You've got to go back and ask God, say, "God, how can I change this condition of my heart?" It's really very easy, but you have to be willing to do what it takes. It's called repentance. You say, "God, forgive me for having a hardened heart. Forgive me, Lord God, for hearing your voice many times, and even just through preaching, and never doing anything about it. Lord, forgive me for filling my mind with so many other things instead of filling my mind with your word. And God will cleanse you. And the beautiful thing about this thing with God is that if you're really serious with God and you repent of it, God in a moment of time can take and wash through your heart, and he can break up that hardness and make your heart soft again. One of the most beautiful things I think for me as a pastor all down through years is when I see people who've maybe gone down a terribly wrong road and their heart is very hardened, but God convicts them. And to see them at that moment, whenever they get convicted and they repent, tears start streaming down their face. And then I end up seeing within a matter of minutes that hardened look on their face turn into a joyful smile of God's forgiveness and God's merciful grace. It's the greatest thing in all the world. Their heart has instantly been made soft. Amen? Yes. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, have y'all gotten anything out of this today?
Thank you for being part of the teaching ministry of Life Church. Our hope is that you take this message and apply it to your life in a practical way. If you would like more information about this ministry and you are in the St. Louis area, call us at 314-843-5575. If you are outside the St. Louis area, call us toll-free at 1-800-610-LIFE. If you would like to write us, our address is 1416 Larkin Williams Road, Fenton, Missouri, 63026. Or visit us at our website at lifechurch-stl.com.